Blog Talk Radio.
Behind everything that is great, there is a great mind, a mastermind. Get ready for the Fantasy Football Mastermind Edge, the definitive fantasy football information show. Your host, Fantasy Football Mastermind Michael Masurek, has more than two decades of fantasy football experience, comprehensive fantasy football information, strategy, and trading advice, fantasy picks to click and flick, the latest NFL news, and much, much more. Each week during the fantasy football season on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, there's no bragging rights for finishing second. Here's your host of the Fantasy Football Mastermind Edge, Michael Masurek.
For the final time in 2019, welcome to the show. This is the Fantasy Football Mastermind Edge podcast. My name's Michael Masurek. I am the host. There's a lot to talk about. It's Fantasy Bowl week, and we're rapidly approaching Christmas and the holidays. Happy holidays to everyone out there. It's a little bit different this week. We still got the same host and the same co-host, Chris Rito, my good friend. How you doing tonight, Chris?
Lovely, lovely. It's really not anything different at all. It's the two of us every week during the season for about the last 10 or 12 years. So,
yeah, that's exactly what you're going to – I was just going to say that this is comes to the end of the official end of the 12th season of the show, and I think you've been with me 10 and a half years of that?
I believe that's correct, sir.
Yep, and we're still poor. Okay, we're going to get more sponsors to the show. Anyway, lots to talk about, I think. Fantasy Bowl week, here it is. Let's go through the news and notes and run down and get to the picks to click and flick for the final time of 2019. There's going to be a quarterback change in Carolina. Kyle Allen has been benched for rookie Will Greer. The Panthers, of course, are looking for their next head coach. They fired Ron Rivera, a couple of weeks ago. And Will Greer is going to start this week. Do you think that this is the right thing for them to do right now, I guess, for evaluation purposes? And more importantly, I guess, for fantasy, does this affect Christian McCaffrey at all? What do you think, Chris?
Well, if anything, it's going to help Christian McCaffrey because there's no better friend to a young new quarterback than the dump-off pass to a tight end or a receiving back, and there's no better one right now than Christian McCaffrey. So it's definitely not going to hurt him. If anything, it'll help him. But as far as the reasoning behind it, I just don't get it. I mean, I understand evaluating your third-round draft choice, but Cam Newton went down, 8 weeks ago? You had the chance to do that. I was very surprised they put Kyle Allen in then. Maybe they thought they were still in the playoff hunt, Cam would be back, et cetera. But it really didn't make sense to wait till week 16 because you only get 2 weeks to evaluate this guy. That's not enough to do an evaluation. And and Kyle Allen has been sucking for a long time now. He's turned the ball over at Jameis Winston level turnover levels for the last 5 or 6 weeks, and they've been out of the playoffs for a while. So I just don't get making this move now and not either next preseason or 3 weeks ago. Just right now seems kind of strange to me.
Well, it is going to be interesting. At least he's going to get Greg Olsen back from that concussion. He's cleared the concussion protocol. They're not the only ones struggling with quarterback situation. You got a team that's going to probably make the playoffs in the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they almost benched Devlin Hodges for maybe Mason Rudolph. But no, Mike Tomlin said we're going to stick with Duck, and he's not going to be on a short leash either. They are playing the Jets this week, so maybe they get a little bit of a reprieve in terms of a secondary that's beat up and injury prone. Not sure if Jamal Adams is going to play this week for the Jets. But do you think that the Steelers are doing the right thing here? Because we're talking about a playoff bound team here. You think they're going to be one and done in the playoffs?
It's a very good chance they could be one and done in the playoffs, but, I mean, really, who the hell cares who they put at quarterback? I mean, how about Mike Tomlin for coach of the year with the job he's done with this unit? He's been through the same kind of turnover and loss of stars that Frank Reich has gone through in here in Indianapolis. Tomlin's kept them winning, and I don't know how. They got off to a terrible start. Devlin Hodges has been bad. Mason Rudolph's been bad. Smith-Schuster's been invisible. Connor's been hurt. I don't know what to do with this team, but I wouldn't assume they're going to make much of a playoff run. There's a couple of – the AFC is very top-heavy, and I think they're going to see a quick exit.
Yeah, the issue, I think, is their defense is really keeping them in game, and that and the fact that their schedule has been kind of favorable for them, so they've been playing kind of middling teams, and they haven't had to play, well, they played the Patriots week one, but, you know, they haven't had to play, like, the Chiefs and some of the better teams. Of course, they do
right
play Baltimore
too,
twice.
You know, they didn't play the Colts when they were doing really well and were healthy early. They played the Colts right in their midst of having other guys injured and were in a downturn. So, I mean, their schedule has worked out, fortunately, even when they played better teams.
Yep. Okay, the other big note of the last couple of days here was Josh Gordon. Once again, pop for ped use, indefinitely suspended. It's kind of a sad situation. He's been in and out of the league now for, it seems like, five-plus years or whatnot. Chris, do you think that this is it for Josh Gordon?
God, I thought it was it 3 or 4 suspensions ago, quite frankly. I don't want to make light of it. It's just sad. Here's a kid who physically has all the talent and all the natural football intellect, you know, the football brains to play, and he just can't get his life together from something that's been a demon, from what I've heard, from since his high school days. He had problems with drugs in high school, obviously at several colleges, all throughout his checkered pro career. The kid can play. He just has such a terrible life. I know that's, you know, I you don't want to make light of it because this is really about his life right now. And, boy, I hope he gets the help he needs and gets it straightened out. He's still a very young man. I mean, I've got a kid the same age as him. So he's got so much time to do it as long as he doesn't screw it up. So, Josh, I know you're probably not listening to our show. You got other things to worry about. But if the word gets back to you, I hope you get your life straightened out. We're all pulling for you to have a good life. The heck with your football career. We want you to have a good life.
Yeah, we are pulling behind him. The question also arises, do you think that the Seahawks knew of these issues because he seemed to be playing such a minor role? He would get 1 to 3 targets each week. He had a big, long 58-yard catch in the game, early in the game this past Sunday. He didn't get another target the rest of the game. Do you think that they basically were bracing themselves, kind of knew what was going on there?
No, I just think it's a matter of they have two good running backs and they had two very good receivers that already had some familiarity with Russell Wilson. Tyler Lockett is like on a mind meld with him. And then, you know, DK Metcalf came in as a rookie, and he is everything that they thought Josh Gordon was going to be when he came into the league. Big, strong, fast, skilled, can pluck the ball out of the air, except he's just not had problems with drugs. I mean, basically, those guys are cut from the same mold, talent-wise. So I just think he just couldn't get the action he needed on a run-first team.
Okay. Well, let's move to the Fantasy Bowl. People are going to be playing, if they're still playing, unless they're playing in a total points league, then if they're still playing, most likely they're going to be in a Fantasy Bowl because most the leagues are smart enough not to schedule their Fantasy Bowl in Week 17 when players like Lamar Jackson probably not going to be playing. So what exact tips? The only thing I can come to mind is what I said last week was that you start your studs, always start your studs that are healthy, because this goes all the way back to me back in the 80s and such. You know, I think I mentioned it about Sterling Sharp, playing for the Packers and, not playing him. And I lost my first Fantasy Bowl that week. It was the second or third year that I was playing. And ever since then, I know that Adam Thielen, in almost like my Fantasy Bowl in the FFPC, the last week of playing here, he's playing on Monday night, big game against the Packers. I think the Vikings are going to be forced to throw in this game. So I'm definitely going to start him if he makes it through the week practicing okay. What can you expound on, in terms of rules that you live by when you're actually in the Fantasy Bowl?
Yeah, I think that's very important to remember. You basically, you play your studs, and here's the reason I always give people when I ask about it. Play your studs because if you I'll give you an example. Let's say you've got, Lamar Jackson with a really tough matchup, and you've got who's some mid-range quarterback like maybe you've got Aaron Rodgers with a tough matchup like he does this week. Who do you play? Look at it this way. Even if your middling guy has a great matchup, you'd feel like an idiot if you benched Lamar Jackson and he had a Lamar Jackson game. Whereas if you play Lamar Jackson and your Aaron Rodgers or your Kirk Cousins or whoever on your bench goes off, you're going to go, oh, that's unfortunate. You won't feel like an idiot. So basically that should tell you right there who you should play. But remember, when you play your studs, it's not the studs you drafted and it's not the studs you paid high dollar for at the auction. It's the studs you have now. You know, Lamar Jackson was a late-round draft choice, but he's absolutely a stud now. Patrick Mahomes was probably the first quarterback taken off the board in most drafts, but he's been a mediocre to slightly above mediocre fantasy quarterback. So remember to play your studs, but remember who your studs are not necessarily who you drafted.
Yep, that's a good point. Okay, let's get through the injuries real quick. We've got a lot of IRs to go here. The first one, of course, everyone thought that Matthew Stafford would end up on IR, and that's exactly what the Lions placed him with, that hip/back injury. He should be good to go next year. Dalvin Cook is a big question mark this week. He left the game with a shoulder injury last week. And they said he was feeling better on Monday. Mike Zimmer said it looks like he should be able to play. We'll see if he makes it through the week of practice because a lot of people are counting on him. The backup, Alexander Mattison, is also injured. So if you can still make a waiver wire move, picking up Mike Boone is probably the smart decision here if you have Cook. We'll see who practices later this week. Jordan Howard still has that stinger in Philly. He's been sitting for like 5, 6, 7 weeks. He's still not clear for contact as of this moment, Tuesday night. We'll see what happens later this week. Chris Godwin, the guys that just made the Pro Bowl, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, both with hamstring injuries, out. They're not going to play this week. They should be probably hitting on IR fairly soon. Scotty Miller, also another young receiver there, is out for the year. They put him on IR. Breshad Perriman, people, that's the one you want to pick up, the hot guy. He had 3 touchdowns last week. He's definitely going to be starting this week, and Jameis Winston is going to be throwing to him early and often there. Justin Watson is the other guy to target there, too. OBJ with the groin in Cleveland, he said he's going to play the final 2 games. I'm not sure how much of an impact he's going to have. Caught 8 passes last week for 66 whopping yards. Woo. Okay. Well, if you got him, you guys could get started on him. But, boy, he's not playing like a stud. We'll see what happens in the offseason. He said he's not going to ask for a trade, but unless things change there with Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield, it doesn't look good for OBJ long-term. DJ Chark with an ankle. He's cleared to run and cut. He did a little bit of that on Monday. We'll see how he gets his practicing here. And lo and behold, A.J. Green, not going to play in 2019. He went to go see a foot doctor in Green Bay, Dr. Robert Anderson. Doesn't look good. There's no real reason for him to play the last 2 games. I guess he just collects his salary there. And after, twisting or injuring his ankle in late July, does not play one single game. Everyone that kind of took a middle-round flyer on him, you got nothing out of him. I did that in one league, too. Ouch. Okay, we'll see. He's also a free agent, so it's going to be up in the air whether the Bengals slap the franchise tag on him or not, or let him go. Juju Smith-Schuster with the knee, still questionable to play. We'll see if he practices later this week and see if he can play. In Oakland, Hunter Renfrow with the ribs, expected to play this week. You could see some pass volume there. The Redskins put Paul Richardson and Trey Quinn on IR, so that leaves just Terry McLaurin as the big guy to target in this big game, against the Giants. So actually, it's a good play this week. And speaking of the Giants, they put Evan Engram on IR with that foot injury. And I already mentioned Greg Olsen clears the concussion protocol. We have a comprehensive list of injuries and all the updates for premium subscribers for our newsletter on our website. Please check out ffmastermind.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
You know you want to dominate your fantasy football league. Manage your teams with the assistance of the premier fantasy football information source, Fantasy Football Mastermind. Found on the web at ffmastermind.com, there's plenty of good free stuff, and the premium content will consistently give your teams the best chance to go all the way. President CEO Michael Nazarek has 20 years' experience and just completed his 4th consecutive year as SI's Expert League Super Bowl champ. Go to ffmastermind.com and check out their volumes of fantasy content, updated daily, which will give you the edge you need to legitimately claim
championship.
Redrafter, Dynasty, Keeper, Auction, Salary Cap, IDP, they cover them all with the best content available anywhere. Go now to ffmastermind.com. The longer you wait, the more great information you'll be missing.
Okay, people, please check out the website, ffmastermind.com, our free daily quick bets page with news information from the NFL is updated on a daily basis. Once the season ends, the regular season, we'll throw all our injury information up there, especially for you people in playoff challenges that will be interested of you. And, of course, our free Eye in the Sky scouting reports will continue for the next couple of weeks, including reports on the Colts from Chris Cerrito. Our weekly fantasy newsletter is still going on each day with premium daily injury quick bet updates. Expanded picks to click and flick, the market feature. I ranked 102 potential players to target in your fantasy league this week. NFL game matchup analysis from John Cooney, my mastermind moments. Rankings released on Wednesday, updated on Saturday. Actually, this week it's going to be updated Friday night because we have three Saturday games. And, of course, the inside slant from John Holler and a holler from the cheap seats. All good stuff there. The late season sale for the new weekly newsletter is $9.95, less the cost of a large pizza. And please follow me on Twitter at FFMastermind. So let's get right to the picks to click and flick for the Fantasy Bowl week. Okay, give me a couple of quarterbacks you like this week and why, Chris.
Well, I'm going to start with famous Jameis Winston. And I don't want to hear about Mike Evans and Chris Godwin being out. Winston doesn't even care if he throws it to the other team. He certainly doesn't care which receiver he throws it to, okay? I mean, he's had 900 passing yards and 8 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. That's good enough where it doesn't matter if he throws a few picks, no matter what your scoring system is. And then he's playing the Texans. Everyone has a high score against them. 7 times this year, a quarterback has had his high or second highest fantasy game against Houston. That's incredible. This Saturday game should be a shootout because Winston will have to throw in this one to keep up with Watson, who's going to be throwing against the Tampa Bay secondary. I'd only start Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson over him this week, period, end of story. And then for those of you in DFS, you might want to think about a real cheap guy like Drew Lock. If you're looking for a differentiating play in your DFS, think about Lock, who's been very matchup dependent. Yeah, he struggled badly in the weather in KC this week, but he's going to be home, supposed to be almost 60 degrees in Denver this weekend, faces a reeling Detroit secondary that has been torched all year. Detroit has allowed 30 touchdowns and a league-low 6 interceptions, so Lock should be free to work. They have been decent versus the run also for 6 weeks, so Drew Lock, I think, is going to be airing it out a bit.
Okay, a couple of guys I like this week. I like Phil Rivers to bounce back. I think he's going to rebound at home. The Raiders just are not the same Raiders as they were earlier in the year, and, of course, they're on the road this week. It could actually get ugly in this game. I think that Phil Rivers is good for at least 2 scores in this game, if not more. So if you need him, start him. Carson Wentz, a big game against the Cowboys at home in Philly, and I know that they're short on wide receivers, but Gary Ward stepped up. They got the rookie, Arcega Whiteside, there. And, of course, Ertz and Goedert, and I think that Wentz is going to do fine and get it done at home against the Cowboys. Not sure who's going to win this game, but I think it's going to be fairly high-scoring shootout game, so if you need Wentz, start him. Couple of guys I'm not crazy about this week. Oh, Tom Brady had a terrible game. I don't know, 5-6 fantasy points against the Bills earlier this year, and I think it's going to be the same again this week, especially with a banged up Julian Edelman, who might not be playing with that knee injury, but they need him. Boy, there's just good kind of scuffling here through the end of the season. It's going to be a very low scoring game. I wouldn't be surprised if Bills win this game something like 10-9 or something. You know? So I would avoid Tom Brady. And Jared Goff, the 49ers, I think they're going to limit him. I know in San Francisco, Richard Sherman's been practicing this week. He's going to play in this game, and you're going to get road golf. So be careful there. The 49ers, they could tee off on him. I don't think he's going to throw more than one touchdown in this pass. So if you got him, consider sitting him this week. How about a couple of quarterbacks that you're not crazy about and why, Chris?
I think 10-9 might be overestimating that New England-Buffalo game. I'm going 5-4 myself for the final score.
Two safety and a field goal.
Okay, I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes. Until his outburst in the snow this Sunday, he had 3 straight games under 21 points. In fact, he's been under 21 fantasy points 4 of his last 5 road games also. And this is a very tough pass defense for Chicago, allowing the 4th fewest quarterback fantasy points. Mahomes actually has been very matchup dependent this year, averaging 16.5 points per game against pass defenses in the top half of the league and 28.7 points per game in the bottom half. So when you look at a matchup dependent one and a guy who's performed less on the road, going on the road against a tough pass defense, I'd think about sitting him. I actually had this debate on social media of Mahomes versus Winston in this Fantasy Bowl week, and I hands down play Winston over Mahomes this week if you've got that choice. Another guy I'm not keen on is Derek Carr. You kind of mentioned you think the Chargers are going to do well this week. I do too. I think the Chargers obviously have been very good against the pass. They've allowed the 3rd fewest yards all year. They've actually only allowed 0 or 1 passing touchdowns in 9 of their last 11 games, and no more than 2, and an average of only 15 points per game to the quarterback the last 7 weeks. Carr's only also tossed 6 touchdowns in the last 6 games and hasn't sniffed 300 yards all year. There's just no real reason here to feel good about the Raiders' overall passing game.
Okay, how about a couple of running backs you like and why?
I actually like Marlon Mack this week. I know they've been scuffling recently coming back from his injury, but they got the NFL's worst run defense staring him in the face. The Colts, I think, are going to return to what they want to do, and they're going to try and hide the struggling Jacoby Brissett and the gimpy wide receiver crew. I look for a very high-volume dose of Marlon Mack. I think they're going to try and get him over 1,000 yards for the first time in his career during their last home game of the year. After having been eliminated this week, they're going to focus on the individual goals. Carolina has allowed 26 running back touchdowns already. I look for Mack to get in the end zone at least once in this one. And then I kind of like Kenyon Drake to stay hot. You certainly can't expect another 4-touchdown game. You know, that would be crazy. But he has been getting stronger each week, and the Hawks have been bleeding. Seahawks have been bleeding touchdowns in recent games to the running back. 2 touchdowns on the ground each of the last 2 weeks. They've allowed the second most rushing touchdowns overall and among the most yards receiving to running backs, making this a good chance for PPR points as well.
Okay, a couple of running backs I like this week. Devonta Freeman, you know, he struggled down there in San Francisco. Well, guess what? He gets a nice home matchup against a struggling Jaguars run defense. Just been absolutely horrendous against the run. It's going to be a mix of run and pass for the Falcons going up and down the field. I think Devonta Freeman is going to be heavily involved both pass catching and running. I think he scores at least once in this game. So if you need him, start him with confidence. And Joe Mixon, wow, really come on. Really big game against the Patriots last week, over 130 yards rushing there. 3 or 4 catches, very nice, and he gets the Dolphins this week. He's going to run all over him, score in this game, so it's probably going to be ranked in the top 10 for this week. Joe Mixon, really like him. A couple of guys I'm not crazy about, Carlos Hyde, Houston. I think he's going to struggle against a tough run, Bucks run defense there. Most of that offense is going to be done via the air there, and that means Duke Johnson catching most of the passes there, so not good for Hyde. And Todd Gurley, I'm just not crazy about. 49ers, I think, are going to limit them on the road in San Francisco there. I know it's been a heavy, heavy dose of Todd Gurley here and there, and he may end up scoring this game, but I think his total yardage is going to be down, and if he doesn't score, it might not be such a good game after all, so be careful when starting him there. How about a couple of running backs you're not crazy about, and why, Chris?
You know, you mentioned Freeman, and I was thinking briefly about playing him over this next guy I'm going to talk about, Derrick Henry, but I'm going to go with my play your studs, you know, argument and say, boy, I'd feel terrible. Now, if Henry turns up not to play or to get held out at the last minute, I'd have no problem subbing in Freeman, but I think Derrick Henry is a caution play this week. The Saints have been very good limiting the run and at forcing you to pass. They've allowed the second fewest yards, third fewest touchdowns, only 5 rushing touchdowns, and only 2 touchdowns since week 5. They've not allowed a 100-yard rusher yet this year and only 2 players over 60 yards on the ground. With Henry nursing that hammy strain and Tannehill's passing game being hot, I think his touches might be limited, so he's absolutely a caution play, but I'm going to follow my own rule, and I'm going to play him over Freeman. May regret that later in a championship game. And then I'm worried about James Conner. He was huge last year until he got hurt. He was an RB number one this year through week 8 until he got hurt. Now, he still looks like a little bit of a shell of himself, and he faces a top 5 run defense on the road in the New York Jets. The Jets have allowed the third fewest rush yards all year and only 2 touchdowns on the ground the last 8 games. Would you risk your fantasy Super Bowl on Conner with the Jets loading up and daring their third-string quarterback to beat them? I wouldn't.
Okay. How about a couple of wide receivers you like and why?
Much like Drew Lock earlier, I really like his top target, Cortland Sutton. I think the Lions have been obviously terrible. They've allowed the second most yards and among the most touchdowns to wide receivers. And recently they've been much worse, allowing 500-yard receivers in the last 5 games and a couple more over 90. That's more than 100-yard receiver a game, basically, on each team. Sutton's also done a much better job at home with 5 of his 6 touchdowns there this season. I think this team, the Lions, is cooked across the board, and Sutton's going to embarrass them. And then I like Will Fuller this week. It's hard to ignore the fact the Bucs have allowed by far the most receptions, yards, and targets to wide receivers, the second most touchdowns. They've allowed a lot of long, deep scores, obviously Fuller's forte. Fuller has produced and has had a surprisingly huge target share when he's been on the field. This is a prime game for him to score big. I love him as a number 3 for your fantasy team with big upside in championship week.
Okay. A couple of guys I like this week, Tyler Boyd, Cincinnati. I think he's going to score against the Dolphins. Not much more else to say that it's just the matchup is really good. And, of course, with A.J. Green out, Tyler Boyd's number 1 for Andy Dalton there. And I think Amari Cooper coming off a bad game. He usually has a big game, and I think he's going to score against the Eagles. Dak's going to look to him. I think he's going to take advantage of that weak secondary that the Giants end up throwing 2 touchdowns to Darius Slay. I think Cooper's going to have his way this week, so start him with confidence. A couple of guys I'd be careful about. We already mentioned OBJ. Oh, boy. Gets the Ravens this week. I don't know if he's going to get 13 targets, but he's sure not going to catch 8 of them. And if he does, 66 yards. I don't know. It's just not a good formula there. And Tyrell Williams, Oakland, I know he had the one big TD catch last week, but 140-yard catch against the Jaguars defense doesn't make up for like a month or two of play. So, you know, I'm just not liking that that situation with Tyrell Williams. I would sit him. How about a couple of wide receivers you're not crazy about and why, Chris?
Yeah, Ty Williams was on a missed tackle, too. So, yeah, I agree with you totally there. I'm not keen on T.Y. Hilton this week. With the team officially eliminated, they might consider shutting him down, even though the prideful Hilton refuses to do so. But even if he plays on a short week, it was very evident on Monday Night Football that he is right now just a shadow of himself. And this passing offense is in a little bit of disarray. In any case, with the terrible Carolina run defense I mentioned earlier, hard to see a high-volume opportunity for T.Y. this week. And I don't like John Brown. After having that great consistent start for the first 7 or 8 weeks, he's been under 40 yards 3 of his last 4 games. He's not scored since week 12. This week he faces Stephon Gilmore, the top-rated New England pass defense. This defense has limited him to 5 short catches on 11 targets in week 4. His targets and touches have dropped a lot since Devin Singletary took over at running back, and they should have success on the ground this week against New England. So low volume and low efficiency as well does not bode well for him to have a good fantasy day.
Okay, how about a couple of tight ends you like and why?
I love Kyle Rudolph. I mentioned his good history with the Lions last week. He also has, or a couple weeks ago, he has had great history on Monday Night Football. He scored on 4 of his last 6 appearances on Monday Night Football, and the potential loss of Cook or limitation of Cook could make the short passing game even more featured. The Packers have also been fairly generous to the tight end, allowing the 4th most points to the position. Green Bay has been particularly bad on the road, allowing more than 63 yards to a tight end in each of the last 4 road games and 3 total touchdowns in those games. So Rudolph is really primed to have a lot of opportunity. And then I love Hunter Henry this week. Raiders have allowed the 2nd most tight end touchdown so far, and Henry is way overdue for a good game. Amazingly, the Raiders have allowed at least 1 tight end touchdown in each even-numbered week so far this season. Henry has played the Raiders twice in his career also. He scored in 1 earlier this year, and he had 90 yards in the other a couple years back. So I think, you know, he's got a little bit of a good history here against the Raiders too.
There you go. I like him too. Okay, a couple of guys I like this week. Jacob Hollister is the fortunate guy that gets to play the Cardinals, who basically gave up, what, 2 touchdowns to Ricky Seals-Jones the other day?
Backup tight end, yeah. To the backup
yeah,
tight end.
Yeah, that's right. So that's right, backup tight end. So whether you're the starter or the backup, if you start, yeah, that's right. David Njoku got the coach's decision. We don't know about what happened there. A lot of pissed off people and Njoku were hoping for a big game. I know he was your click last week. But, yep. You know, we'll see. Hollister is going to play in this game, I think he's going to score against the Cardinals. Jared Cook, really hot. I think he's going to score against the Titans this week. So, you know, stick him in your lineup. He's going to be needed. It's not going to be an all-Michael Thomas show again this week. And my flicks, I just mentioned him, David Njoku. Who knows if he's going to play this week, but you can't trust him. And they're playing the Ravens, so forget about it. And Dawson Knox for Buffalo, not against the Patriots. You can find something better else on the waiver wire or whatnot. Anyway, how about a couple of tight ends you're not crazy about and why, Chris?
A couple of venerable veterans, one of whom is going to the Hall of Fame. I just don't like him this week. I'll start with Jimmy Graham. The Vikings have allowed the most targets and receptions to tight ends, but they've only allowed a single touchdown all year, and Graham is very touchdown dependent. He's dinged up, and he's barely registering a target share with only 1 catch in 3 of his last 4 games. No reason to play Jimmy Graham. And then, unfortunately, I don't like Jason Witten. He's been a little bit hot recently, but the Eagles are so bad versus wide receivers that the tight ends rarely get a look against them. Witten also has a very poor history against this close rival. 5 of his last 8 games in this matchup, under 20 yards receiving, an average of only 15 yards per game over the last 5 against the Eagles. I just think you look elsewhere for a guy with a higher floor and maybe a higher ceiling, too.
Okay, how about one-hit wonders at kicker and defense? Hit me with them.
I actually like Chase McLaughlin for the Colts this week. Carolina has allowed 10-plus kicker points in 4 of their last 5, 15 field goals attempted in their last 5 games, and the 2nd most field goal attempts overall. Their red zone defense is good. Colts' red zone offense is not right now. So McLaughlin should get chances. And then I like Kai Forbath. He's probably on your waiver wire after getting waived by a couple of other teams this week and then signed by the Cowboys. Probably available. Like I said, Dallas kickers have averaged 14 points per game versus Philadelphia the last 2 seasons over 3 games. So this should be, again, a very tight game with a division title on the line. And I like it. I mentioned Indianapolis. I like them at home against Carolina. Carolina's allowed the most sacks and a ton of fantasy points to defenses, and they are starting a rookie third-string quarterback this week on the road. So I like Indianapolis' defense. And then I like Miami at home versus Cincinnati in the battle of the two worst teams or the best teams to play a fantasy defense against. You had to pick one of them. I'll take the home team. Cincinnati's allowed 10-plus fantasy points again, allowed in six of their last seven games. Again, I'm going to take the home game playing in the heat against the northern team.
Okay, we want to remind everyone a premium newsletter purchase gets you free access to our subscriber forum where there are nearly 4,000 subscribers registered and waiting to voice their opinions. I want to thank my co-host Chris Rito, my very good friend, been with me 10 and a half years on this show, and we're coming to the close of year 12 of the Fantasy Football Mastermind Edge podcast. There will be a season 13. We will premiere probably next April after the free agency settles down to discuss the free agency review of 2020. Thank you for joining us, everyone. For Chris Rito, this is Mike Nazarek. We'll see you all next year. Goodbye, good night, and good luck to everyone playing in their fantasy bowl this week. And happy holidays. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thanks to all of you for listening. Have a
great
year.
You've been listening to the Fantasy Football Mastermind Edge with your host, Michael Nazarek, the definitive fantasy football information and advice show. Join us next time on Blog Talk Radio. Until then, remember, there's no bragging rights for finishing second.